What is up, Clipper Nation? Welcome to Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am a solo positive Chuck Mockler today. William the Opinion Updike is at jury duty, doing his civic duty there, which, you know, good for him. Hope he's having a good time. But today, you just get me. Bit of a big weekend for the Clippers. I'm going to recap tremendous comeback that happened on Saturday against the Pistons. We're going to get into what went wrong against the Raptors. Pretty horrendous travel schedule for us on that one. And then, actually, I'm going to lead today with talking about some trade deadline stuff. There's been a bunch of stuff happening in the last, 25 minutes about the Anthony Davis situation. The Clippers have been talked about from his camp. So we're going to get into that right now. So there was a bunch of activity between the Lakers and the Pels today. Woj had a tweet where he said, "Beyond the Lakers and Knicks, the Pelicans have made been aware of a handful of teams that Anthony Davis would be willing to sign long-term." Then after that, Shams tweeted out, "Anthony Davis representatives have informed the Pelicans that he would sign long-term with the Lakers, Knicks, Bucks, and Clippers if he is traded. There has been no offer from the Clippers yet, but recently there was a new offer for Brad Turner. He just landed in Indy." He said, "Update on the Lakers-Pelicans talks. Magic Johnson, Dell Demps talked twice today per source. Lakers willing to give cap relief for Anthony Davis by taking Solomon Hill. For Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Rajon Rondo, Lance Stephenson, Michael Beasley, and 2 first-round picks." I pause for a brief second because I'm kind of shocked at how many pieces that is. I think that effectively kind of ruins the Clippers' chance of getting AD. That is so many pieces right there. I'm not really sure what the Lakers would do depth-wise. That's so much to give up. I don't really think you need depth, actually, if you have AD and LeBron. But right now, they're just waiting on the Pelicans' response. It's going to be it could go down before the deadline. This kind of leads into the Clippers talk a little bit because, first of all, nice to be on the short list of teams that AD would maybe sign an extension with. Doesn't seem like that would happen given the offer that just went through from the Lakers, but it's still nice to be wanted a little bit, or at least kind of have the ability to be wanted by a big free agent like that. So right now we're kind of in this dilemma where the Clippers can kind of hang tight at the trade deadline, or we could be sellers. A lot of people think we should be sellers. Zach Lowe had a tidbit about how apparently there's been a lot of chatter about Kyrie to the Clippers, but that doesn't seem real in any way. There have been calls about Tobias. Not really sure if our front office is ready to deal him. And for what? I think it'd have to be used in a package with a couple other guys to make a big enough splash for our front office to jump on it. Kevin Arnovitz thinks the Clippers should be selling and then kind of use the draft pick after we quote-unquote float down to 10th. And I've been a pretty big, if you've listened to this podcast, I've been a pretty big make the playoffs guy. But, and kind of sacrifice the draft pick, we'll get beat in the first round most likely, 99% chance, something like that. We get beat in the first round, but, it shows guys were it shows free agents were competitive, shows we have a core who can at least make the playoffs. But now, if there seems to be apparent interest in Tobias, who is worth a good amount from an asset-rich team, he's not really, we're not going to get bad assets for him, and we don't have a front office that's going to allow us to get bad assets for him. I'm kind of now, in the maybe test what the selling market looks like and, our draft situation. We had a fairly low lottery pick with Shea and Jerome coming in, and it seems like we've hit on both of those picks. I don't want to speak too soon for Jerome, but Shea evidently looks like he was worth his spot. And Jerome, when he has played, has shown flashes of why we kind of took a risk of him when we doubled up on guys in the first round. So now I'm a little on the fence, and maybe we should test these trade waters. I really like Tobias. He apparently suffered a bit of a shoulder injury, which we'll get into later when I'm doing some game recaps. But with these dominoes that are going to fall, and with that haul, it just seems like the Pelicans almost have to give Anthony Davis to the Lakers. That is so many pieces. we should be in a seller mentality. The deadline's on Thursday, so there's not that much time to figure things out. I'm assuming that this front office is just going to kind of take what comes to them and have maybe some contingency plans in place. I don't think the Clippers will get a package together for AD. I've kind of kicked it out on Twitter. I'm not even sure what we would offer compared to what the Lakers offering. That is unbelievable. So it seems like an offer. Jovan Buha had an interesting take of maybe the offer has to be like Tobias, Shea, Patrick Beverley, and or Jerome Robinson, and at least a first. Which if you look at the offer from the Lakers, which is just one more time, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Rajon Rondo, Lance Stephenson, Michael Beasley, two first-round picks. I like our young core a lot. I really do. I don't think we're not willing to give up as much as the Lakers are willing to give up. And I'm happy with that. That's just so much. I think we'd have to throw in Lou, we'd have to throw in Trez, we'd have to throw in everybody. And I don't know if we have enough to do that. I wouldn't want to hemorrhage growth or any relationships by offering that and then having it get shot down by the Pelicans. I am kind of speaking as if this trade is a done deal. I'm fully expecting to stop recording and then immediately get a Twitter alert that I'll have to do an emergency pod to rescind everything I've just said. But it has been interesting. If this shoe drops, I do think the Clippers will be a bit of a seller, or at least coming at it from a seller's viewpoint before the end of the deadline on Thursday. Hopefully we don't see Tobias move. Just a lot going on right now. I'm sure most people listening would want AD, but for, how much? It's going to be interesting to see what goes down. We got what feels like apparently a lot of time left before the trade deadline. But yeah, I mean, that's all I have to say on that. A bunch has happened in the past couple minutes. Get at me on Twitter, at LockedOnClips. If you guys have any ideas, coming up after this short break, a recap of the Clippers versus Pistons game from Saturday. So, on Saturday, this was a classic, frustrating game that ended up going our way right at the end. For those that missed it, the Clippers completed the largest regular season comeback in team history. Detroit led for 39 minutes of this game, at one point by 25 points, halfway through the second quarter. My co-host, William, and I were in meetings during this and just checking our phones furiously, assuming the Clippers were going to drop another winnable game to add another tally to our unencouraging loss column. But after an insane fourth quarter, one in which we won 35-14, we got the win. I can't stress enough how big this win was after losing to the Lakers. This was absolutely a must win. And in the end, we got it done. You can be frustrated in how it happened, which rightfully so. It shouldn't have been this out of reach / this close. The final score was 111-101. But we got the win. We talked about this on the Saturday episode that came out of how this was such a crucial game, given how the game against the Lakers went. And the brutal scheduling we had with playing the Raptors the very next day, somehow 3 hours earlier, having to go through customs. That was all terrible. But we got the dub. Let's rejoice in that. I'll give you some quick stats. Lou Williams saved our lives by putting up 39 points and 9 assists. Trez had 16 and 7 boards. Shea had 14, 7, and 5, doing a little bit of everything. And Boban put up the thinnest double-double possible of 10 points and 10 boards. However, in just 16 minutes, he got some time against the Raptors, too. He's been looking really good. For the Pistons, Blake had a fantastic game with 24, 11, and 6. Reggie Jackson led their team with 29 and 7. And Andre Drummond contributed 12 and 11. Blake was scoring from everywhere on us. He hit a couple of threes that looked good. He had soft touch around the rim. He had a couple of dunks. It seemed like a lot of what the Pistons were doing were giving a big guy the ball on the low right block, kind of near the baseline, and just moving it in and then moving it from the right side of the court to the left side, seemingly pretty easily as the game went on. This one started out really rough. Pistons came out hot and won the first quarter 40-22. Pretty handedly took us down in the first. We came out slow. We were not ready for I don't know, the weather in Detroit. I'm not sure what it was. Thankfully, that was the only quarter that they won. We tied the second quarter and then handily won the second half, 64-36. So it was good to see our defense kind of lock in towards the end of the game. Wish we wouldn't have had to dig ourselves out of such a big hole, given that it was a the first night of a back-to-back and whatnot. But, you know, what are you going to do? We got the win. The Detroit starters outscored our starters 84-31. Shea was the only real starter that put up, you know, reputable stats. Gortat only played three games in this one, which was very weird. But our bench came up huge. And when I say huge, I mean they beat Detroit's bench 80-17, which might be the biggest discrepancy between two bench units, I think, all year at least. And definitely will stand for a long time for the Clippers. Was happy to see our bench guys come out to play. Huge shout out to Mike Scott, who managed 15 points with 3-for-3 shooting from beyond the arc. And in the fourth quarter, he was 3-for-3 from the field in general. Really happy to see him kind of what seems like find a little bit of his groove or a little bit of his game that had gone away. 15 points is big. 3-for-3 shooting from beyond the arc, again, huge in a game where everyone had to contribute to come back from 25 points down. He did a lot. Trez played 36 minutes. Lou put in 34 minutes. And we really just did have to go all out to save this game from the back-to-back. It was nice we got the win. Sucks these guys had to play so many minutes. I'm assuming our starters were just off for some reason in this game. Like I said, Gortat only played 3 minutes. Doc was pretty quick to abandon whatever he was bringing to the table, which was kind of odd. Gortat has had such a weird up-and-down relationship with playing time so far this year. Our starters as a whole got out-rebounded, out-assisted, had a worse field goal percentage, and a worse three-point percentage. Shea was our best starter, which was really cool to see. He only had 2 turnovers. Again, he put up a line of 14, 7, and 5. We've talked about a little bit on this podcast, actually a lot the other day, about how Doc's treatment of Shea might be stunting his growth or might be a little dangerous to how he's developing as what we assume could be a franchise point guard. And he seems to be bouncing back from the way that Doc is doing, you know, his coaching and stuff. So if Doc, you know, Shea had a rough January. He's seeming to turn around his style of play, or not style of play, excuse me, his play in general after the game on Saturday, and he had a great performance against the Raptors yesterday, which was always nice, which is always good to see. So, I don't know, maybe he's reacting well to it. We could be totally wrong. I hope we are, and he continues to perform well. Shea had the best defensive rating of anyone on the team. He had 93 defensive rating, which is amazing. He had 3 steals. He really did kind of do everything this game. A group who didn't do anything really was the other starters. Every other starter combined for 17 points in this one. Tobias managed just 7 points and 8 boards on 3-of-12 shooting, which was frustrating for him. But it came out he was battling a shoulder injury after having to defend LeBron on Thursday, which was kind of nagging him. There were reports that he was icing it in the fourth. So he gets, you know, I give him a little bit of pass on that one because he, you know, because of the injury and whatnot. If we had lost this game, this obviously would have been a lot more frustrating. Still annoying that we had to rely on Lou so much in this game. We'll get to his performance in a few minutes. But, you know, Tobias, hurt shoulder or not, you were still playing. You played a fair amount of minutes. Got to put up 10 points in games like this. You know, I just want to see 10 a game from someone, at least, who is wanting to get the max or is going to get a pretty large contract offer from us. Avery Bradley had 6 points on 2-of-7 shooting, which is not good. However, he did go 2-of-4 from 3, so when he's on, it helps our spacing out a little bit, which is nice. He didn't do a whole lot else well, which was very frustrating. Team-wise, we brought it to them in areas we needed to, which was nice. We out-rebounded them 47-38. Unexpected, but welcome. I will take it. 48% from the field to their 42%. 50% from 3. However, he only took 20 attempts to their 40% on 42 attempts. The Pistons, I mean, 42 attempts and shooting 40% is a pretty good percentage from 3. Kind of shocking they didn't beat us given we only made 10. We beat them 12-14 on turnovers, out-assisted them by one. And another unexpected thing, we had 56 points in the paint to their 30, which I don't know how this shakes out, but, you know, we'll take this win. We'll take these wonky numbers. Let's get to what was maybe the most important part of the game, which was Lou Williams. Again, we are saved by the patron saint of buckets, Lou Williams. The Chicago game was apparently just a preview of the beginning of what his heroics can become. Again, he had 39 to go along with 9 assists in this game. He shot 13 of 26, just 2 of 4 from the line, and 11, or 2 of 4 from 3, excuse me, and he shot 11 of 11 from the line. I'm not sure who can stop this guy. The fact that he only made 2 3-pointers and still put up 39 is fantastic. He shot 50, 50, and 100 were his shooting splits. I don't know what else you want from this guy. In classic Lou fashion, he took a little while to warm up to this game. He went 1 of 4 in the first quarter. In the second quarter, he upped it to 3 of 9. By the third, he was feeling it and put up 3 of 4 shooting. And by the time the fourth came around, he was just, you know, ready to turn this game into a fat dub. And he went 6 of 9 in the last frame. He was really just scoring from everywhere. He went on a solo 5-0 run in the fourth to keep the game just out of reach of the Pistons. I mean, it was just magnificent to watch. If you have time at work, please watch the highlights right now. If you want finishing at the rim, no problem. If you want falling to your left and shooting, no problem. The guy did it all. Hats off to him for stepping up when really no one else wanted to. I don't know what happened, but 39 and 9 assists. Again, you know, the 9 assists isn't going to get talked about as much as the 39 points, but the assists are just as important in a game where you come back from 25 down. I just can't believe he's on our team for so cheap. All in all, you know, we have a habit of letting these games slip away, so it was nice to get the win in this one. The over-reliance on Lou is a little worrisome. That should be better when Gallo gets back. There was an update today. He could be with us for the game tomorrow against the Hornets, which would be clutch. After we took care of business in Detroit, we had to go up to Toronto where things went a little differently. I'll get into that game right after this, but first, the Lockdown Podcast Network is doing awesome things on Twitter and Instagram. We've aggregated all the accounts into Locked On Net on both of those platforms. It's great during games, breaking news, especially with all the trade deadline stuff happening right now. You get a little more info in the stories feature. So yeah, check out Locked On Net on both Twitter and Instagram. So now we're going to recap the game against the Raptors, which, I mean, you know, after the monumental loss or a comeback against the Pistons, we had to go play the fully healthy Raptors. This was a scheduled loss, you know, just 100%. Doc mentioned this to him. He thought this was his toughest back-to-back in 30 years. The game in Toronto was 2 hours earlier than the game in Detroit. The Raptors didn't play the night before. I just don't know what the league is thinking scheduling games like this. When you have to go through customs, you have to do all this stuff. You know, it doesn't do anything to sit and complain about it, but it was pretty frustrating. You know, not a whole lot you can do in that situation, back up against the wall. Let's get into some stats real quick. The Clippers lost this game 121-103. Shea led all scorers with 19 points. He also added 5 boards, 3 assists, and 2 blocks. God, he loves the stat stuff. Nothing better than seeing him with a nice, hearty, crooked number in every single stat category, except, of course, turnovers. Lou Williams was our number 2 with 18 points. Tobias had 13, and Bogdan put up a decent 10-9. For the Raptors, they got a pretty even scoring distribution from their whole team. Kawhi Leonard didn't score as much as Shea. He put up 18 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, and 1 block. Just barely, almost as good as Shea. Just one digit away on each thing. Almost as good of a game from Kawhi Leonard as Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Serge Ibaka killed us down low with 16 and 12. Pascal Siakam added 15. And CJ Miles led the bench with 15 points. If you want the short of this game, three-point shooting and rebounding were our undoing in this one. I'll get into the worst part of it in just a sec. But we got out-rebounded 56-36. Which, you know, I don't care who you're playing, you're not winning that game. That's just not going to happen. And then three-pointing, this is where I'm not sure if the Raptors' defense was just feeling it or we were tired or something. We shot 17% from three on 12 attempts. We made 2 three-pointers. Getting off 12, I guess is a testament to the Raptors' defense, as well as how much we rely on Gallo to get things going from beyond the arc. But, I mean, 2-12, that's, you know, we lost this game. It makes sense. Lou attempted 0 threes. Scott only attempted 1. He missed it. AB, thankfully, I guess, was shooting. He went 0-3 from deep. You know, I didn't get a chance to watch this game. I watched the extended highlights. I pored over some stats, and as soon as I saw that one, I just said, oh, okay, no, this makes sense. To go along with that, their bench outplayed ours. They scored 59 points to our 45, out-rebounded us by 7, and shot a better percentage. It just, you know, this was just a fatigue game. I'm not using that as an excuse. The Raptors are a better team. We probably lose this game 9 out of 10 times if we play fully healthy. They were fully healthy. They hadn't played, I think, for a couple days or something like that. So this was a scheduled loss, but we definitely weren't helping our causes with the shooting and the rebounding. Our defense was leaving guys open in the corners early. I'm not sure if that was due to fatigue. Mike Scott looks a little lost out there on defense, I think probably just because of his uneven playing time and stuff like that, not really gelling with the first-team defense. But yeah, I don't know. It was just frustrating. Trez didn't score until 8:40 left in the second. He was effectively nullified by the Raptors' defense, putting up just 10-3 in 29 minutes of action. He did get the start. Gortat got a DNP after just 3 minutes in the game against the Pistons, which I'm wondering what Doc saw or was thinking, considering this was the second night of a back-to-back, and we needed bodies on this guy. Or in this game, like, we just needed guys to be out there. Kawhi really abused Avery Bradley when he guarded him. Avery Bradley guarded him for 16 possessions. Kawhi went 5 of 5 during those. You know, at least it's not some scrub. At least it was Kawhi who went and embarrassed him. So, you know, that's good, I guess. We kept it within reach for most of the game. It really got out of hand in the fourth. Fatigue seemed to play a huge issue. They beat us in second chance points and fast break points, which I feel like are pretty, you know, classic signs of being too tired. We only had 15 assists as a team compared to their 21. You know, just a discombobulated looking game. I'm happy the guys get a day of rest before our game tomorrow against the Hornets. I'm not sure what we did to someone in the NBA scheduling department, but we're sorry. We're sorry for whatever we did to deserve this schedule, these back-to-backs. Well, we're sorry. Hoping we show Kawhi, or showed Kawhi just enough about what it would be like to play for the Clippers. I'm sorry. I'm still just checking this Twitter in case this Lakers trade is going down. I'm just not sure what's going on, you guys. There's so much going on before the trade deadline. Going to close out in a few minutes, but I want to kind of just pose a question out there to you guys. Do you guys think we're going to do anything by the trade line? Get at me at Twitter, at LockedOnClips. This about wraps it up for me. Thanks for listening to me go solo today. Again, I am Positive Chuck Mockler. Please like, rate, subscribe, leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps us out. If you say something funny, we will mention it on the podcast. We are coming at you Monday through Friday, sometimes on Saturday if we have to travel like we did this weekend. But yeah, thank you guys for tuning in to Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Hope everyone has a great rest of their day.